This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live. The Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Game 3 tomorrow, 3:30, Knicks Celtics. I heard a semantics conversation between C-Mac and a caller this morning about must win and what a must win means and how the caller said Game 3 is a must win. And C-Mac said it can't be a must-win if the series isn't over. And the guy said, well, series could be over if they lose. Then it gives the Celtics confidence to come back in the series. But if you do win, then the series definitely is over. And I understand it's not a technical must-win. But if the Knicks do win this game, one thing I'm confident in, as wacky as this series is, that they're not losing four in a row. There's no way they're losing four in a row. It hasn't happened in the NBA, right? I know it's happened in the NHL. It hasn't happened in the NBA, a team being down 3-0, coming back and winning four straight.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, so from that standpoint, you want to say must win to move on to the next round? It's about as close to a lock as you can get. Now, if you lose it, it doesn't mean you're going to lose the series. So it's like a half of a must win. Like, if you win, well, you feel pretty good about moving on. If you lose, you still have an opportunity to win.
You know, did you think that the Celtics would lose three in a row to the Knicks? Did you think they'd lose both games at home?
So
who knows what happens? Shaquille O'Neal is on the side of the caller who called this, I believe it was Shaq that called this a must-win for the Knicks if they want to advance, because he believes the same thing, that if you give the Celtics life, that they might become the Celtics again. That having been said, to me, split these two. Like, if you're the Knicks, if you end up going back to Boston up 3-1 where you know you can win, you give yourself two serious cracks at ending it before Game 7.
Yeah, I mean, and then the Celtics would have to win three in a row. So as hard as four in a row is, three in a row is almost as hard. So, yeah, I mean, if you win one of the two, especially if you win this one, I mean, you feel even better about it. But it's they're still an underdog. It is unbelievable. They are still an underdog, and they won't be if they win Game 3. I think finally everybody will say that they'll be the favorite to win the series. But it's the way the games have gone.
Yep.
I mean, we forget because of these great comebacks and how special it's been that the Knicks were getting killed in both of these games.
But they won the games. And I know, I will say it over and over. I know a big part of this has been Boston shooting for sure. But you also got to give the Knicks credit defensively for what they have done in these fourth quarters. They have made, while yes, they have been ice cold shooting the basketball, there's no question about it, they've also made big stops when the game was on the line where they very easily could have lost. So it's been maybe a perfect storm for the Knicks in these fourth quarters, I suppose. Maybe Boston's just gotten complacent with these big leads. I don't know. What I do know, though, is they're up 2-0. They are coming home where they haven't been great so far in the postseason against Detroit with an opportunity to really put their foot on the Celtics' throat.
And if you're just tuning in, putting on the TV, or watching us a clip on X or Instagram, and you're wondering why Jerry's wearing the Kristaps Porzingis jersey, well, it's simple.
We asked for a jersey from Fanatics, which they delivered. We wanted to put it in the freezer. However, after the first two games, we felt like this Kristaps Porzingis jersey going in the freezer would not help the team because they won the first two games. So I said to Jerry, do you want to put this thing on? At first he said no, and then I said, how about all the times Boomer has sat there and crapped on the Nets, and I dressed up as a leprechaun to watch the Celtics, or because I wanted the Celtics to beat the Nets. And this is an opportunity for you to stick it to us, and especially stick it to Boomer, who's not here.
You talked me into it.
And you could wear the Porzingis jersey, who he didn't like either when he was a Knick, in his chair on a Feel Good Friday. And you put that thing on,
you
rocket it proudly. So it's not was not really Jerry's decision at first. I did talk him into it, but he wasn't doing this. If the jersey wasn't in front of me this morning, it's not like Jerry himself went out and got the jersey.
Not at all. So, and I declined the leprechaun outfit from Evan. And also, in fairness, when you look at the teams that I do like, as much as I do watch the Nets, I don't watch every game. Like, you know, the Cowboys, I don't miss a play.
Right.
You know, whether it's the baseball with the Mets, even the Yankees, I'm not putting a Red Sox jersey on or, this is fine.
It's okay.
And you got to me. You got to me with Boomer needling me to a point where I'm ready to knock him in the head with a baseball bat.
Right. And he's going to see this at some point. He's going to put on CBS Sports Network or he's going to watch one of the clips that put out there and it's going to piss him off.
Yeah, in his chair.
Yeah, in his chair.
Chair, Boomer.
Did you like the pick and trade, by the way, for the Cowboys?
I do like the pick and trade. When you look at what this team can be on paper. Now, I still don't know, you know, running back-wise, that to me is still, they drafted a kid. I don't know what that is yet. We'll see. But when you look at, I think they got a good tight end. You had CeeDee Lamb. I liked when they had Brandon Cooks last year. I thought he was going to be an X factor for him. He was okay. Never really turned out to be what I think they envisioned. But I do think when you now have two fantastic wide receivers, and I believe motivated too, it just gives Dak Prescott every resource he needs. Offensively, they drafted an offensive lineman. I know they've lost some pieces up front, but I think they'll be good on the line, and now that you've got these two, one that can really stretch the field, one that doesn't have to, you've got a really good possession tight end in terms of catching the ball. I think they can be really good offensively, yeah.
And he was a second-round pick. I thought he was a first-round pick, which meant that he had the fifth-year option, but he's not. So it being a second-round pick, he's going into a contract year.
Yeah, which is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, you see how motivated they can get in a contract year.
You know who's the hardest job is going to fall on Dak's shoulders to make sure everybody's happy. And that's a hard thing to do because there's only so many pass plays in a game. And you've got a guy like CeeDee Lamb, who I love the kid, but you know, he's a wide receiver. And when he's not involved early, sometimes, I don't want to say checks out, that's not the right phrase, but sometimes he looks a little, you know, disengaged from what the offense is doing, maybe. I'll say it that way. So you've got to make sure you've got two guys now that need the ball. And a really good tight end, too. It's going to be on his shoulders to kind of figure it out and balance it.
Feel Good Friday on Boomer and Geo. Jerry in for Boomer. Let's get to the calls now, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Edgar, who's calling from Long Island. What's going on, Edgar?
Edgar.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well.
Morning.
Just two things to say real quick. Do you believe the Knicks can finally put together a full 48 minutes of good basketball tomorrow? Or either on Game 4, because to be honest, as much as people say the Celtics haven't shot their best or played their best, the Knicks haven't played their best basketball either, and they're up 2-0. They've just played pretty good in spurts.
You know what they haven't done yet, Edgar? They've had guys play good. Like, Mikal Bridges saved them offensively in the fourth quarter the other night. Karl Anthony Towns was good early. Jalen Brunson in games has been everything they've needed, whereas Brunson, while he made the big free throws and the big play at the end, shot 6 of 19. I agree with you. They have not put together a full game where they've complemented each other. They've done it in spurts, and I think you're right. While we're focused on Boston not shooting it well, I agree with you that the Knicks have not played a complete game yet either.
Absolutely. And last thing I'll say is I want to give a quick big shout out to my wife, who is an actor, and she was on the new episode of Law and Order yesterday.
I watched it. Who was she in the show?
She was a medical advisor, I believe.
Nice.
Like, she was, you know, giving the case details to the detectives. They were in Central Park. She was in there for 5 minutes or so.
That's awesome.
It's still pretty big, and I know bigger things are coming for her, so I'm very, very proud of
her. Good luck. That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome, Edgar, and that's something to be proud of. So she had lines. She had a speaking part.
Yeah, yeah, she did. She did.
Wow. Very cool. That is great. Well, good luck to her in her career, and good luck to you, and good luck to the Knicks on a feel-good Friday. Everybody is fired up today.
That's pretty good.
Law and Order. You watched the episode last night?
You know, it's funny. So I used to, with Sam Waterston, I love Law and Order, but I haven't watched too many of them this season at all. But I did get, because I got home so late from my son's baseball game, by the time I took a shower and ate something small, it was 8 o'clock, and I put it on. I'm like, you know, it's a new episode. I'm going to watch it. And it was a very cool episode. If it's the same one we're talking about a basketball player's dad and him, whatever. So I did watch last night. So that's ironic that he called this morning.
Yeah, no sports last night locally, and the TV was open. So we started watching the episodes of Black Mirror on Netflix, which is like a modern day Twilight Zone, where like what the world is going to be with technology and weird things that could be happening to us in the future with technology, which I think is fascinating. Although the season's been super disappointing, it was really clever, really good early on, but it's just they're running out of ideas.
All right, so speaking of technology, so it's very interesting you bring up that show and that point. If Al, when he's done, I want to ask him something, because this Law and Order episode last night had a very interesting storyline. So just briefly, a kid gets accused, and they kind of know he did it, gets accused of killing his father, who was pushing him too hard athletically, and he just couldn't take it anymore. And what they found when they got to his text messages and his computer was that he was using AI as therapy. Hmm. And so the question became, is that, what did it say, when client privilege, Dr. Privilege. And, you know, you've got the prosecution saying this is absurd. Like, it is a computer. But then you've got the defense saying, but to him, it's his therapist. And it's interesting because I know you talk to Grok a lot.
Like, yeah, Grok is my therapist for
would
sure.
Would you feel like that's privileged?
Yes. It's like a diary.
Yeah, it was a slippery slope. It was very interesting.
I mean, they rip stuff from the headlines, Law and Order, a lot and make shows about it. I wonder if this is an actual thing that had gone on.
Maybe that I don't life. Know because they do rip stuff from the headlines and change all the names and some of the plots. But I just thought when you're talking about the year 2025, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson had said, if you look at the history of the world or of modern society, every 20 years are where the biggest shifts come. You know, if you go back from 2000 to 1980, incredibly different. Now they're starting to say these shifts are going to be every 5 years. That life is just going to look really, really different because of technology and the robots and what the robots are doing and things of that nature.
Yeah, some of these Black Mirror episodes this year haven't been great, but the first one episode of the year I thought was really clever, where there was a woman who had gotten a brain tumor, and there was not a good prognosis, but a new company had come in with this experimental treatment, and it was like a service that you had to pay for. It was like a paywall thing. So they go in and they do it, and then all of a sudden she starts like giving commercials out in the middle of when she's talking. Like as a teacher, she was like, if you want the softest fabric softener, people are like, well, what the hell's going on here? So they go in and it's like, she's been spewing commercials. What happened? And like, well, now you have to upgrade to Plus.
Oh my God.
It's like, it was just like this wild thought process of how like the medical industry got so crazy that they were fixing people. But yet you like to get to the certain tiers of like, well, you'd have to go to premium.
That's the price you have to pay to get fixed.
Yeah. Like, and then well, you go to the other tier, the silver tier, and you'll be able to do this and be able to do that. And you'll be able to sleep better. And I was just like, oh, I was like, this is freaky.
It is, right? Yeah, a lot really of it is freaky. And you know what's crazy is it's not out of the realm of possibility anymore.
Yeah, that was a good one. There were some other ones that were just completely unbelievable and weird, but it's a cool show. It's actually something I think Eddie would really like. I've talked to him about it before, but I feel like Eddie doesn't consume any television outside of college football and anything that Scott Van Pelt says.
That's and not exactly true, but not
well, maybe
far
if
from
Scott
it.
Van Pelt endorsed the Black Mirror, maybe you would watch it then.
Oh, I have watched Black Mirror.
Oh yeah, okay.
The very first episode,
the pig one.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that was great though. It was a great.
It
plot.
Was, but that was a rough one.
Yeah, there was also an episode in the first season. Got to go back and look, but it was basically about like dying and your consciousness and heaven is on a little chip and you can live on and. It was just bizarre. Mm. Like, you chose what you wanted your heaven experience to be, and they were able to get your consciousness on, like, a computer chip, and then you were living this out, even though your body was dead. It was like, pfft. blew my
mind. Mind-blowing? Like, download or upload?
Yeah, I think yes.
I watch science fiction shows, though.
Okay, that's right.
Resident Alien is very good.
And then you're a Star Trek guy, of course.
Both.
Star Wars and Star Trek. Let's go to Steve, who's calling from Middle Island. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, good morning, boys.
What's
hey,
up?
Stephen A. Hello! Stephen A. played a pretty good brief part last night in the...
I guess, in the beginning.
Yeah, he played... He was on for 5 minutes. I would have been...
I got to it. Yeah. I literally got to it right when the music rolled. So I missed the beginning. Was he the dad that was killed?
Yes. Okay. He was.
Got it.
Yeah, but it's a brief part. But he was pretty good. But no screaming out to Nixon. And that would have been funny.
But this guy can't figure out what he wants to do. Make $100 million doing sports, act, or become president. Like, my God.
You can't spend that money in a lifetime. Anyway, Jerry, if there's any shot, any chance of turning the shirt around so we could see Porzingis' name?
Well, you see the 8.
Yeah, I know, but let's change it up a little, maybe the next hour. You guys are doing a great job. Always Jerry filling in for Boomer.
Why do you want the Porzingis to be in front?
Because now people are going to call up and say, why do you got that on with the Porzingis shirt on? Like me, that just turned you on. and I don't understand. The last two games, the spread was like 10.5. It's down to 5.5 for Saturday.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, they're home, and you're basically cutting it in half. The way that these games have gone, I mean, I wouldn't bet on that. Ever. I'm so confused
as to
what's going to happen. I have no idea.
I agree.
I mean, if you wanted to put a bet on the Knicks when they were plus 880 just to, like, feel good about it and make some money as a value bet, you could have done that. But at this point, it's asinine.
Who knows? Series. I agree with you.
Let's go to Craig, who's in Chicago. What's going on, Craig?
Good morning, guys.
Craig.
Always get up early to hear your show and to watch it.
Well, thanks. What do you got for us?
I wanted to let you know that yesterday they interviewed the Pope's brother, who still lives in the Chicago area, and they asked him about whether he was a Cubs or a White Sox fan. And he said there were people in the household who liked the Cubs, there were people in the household who liked the Cardinals, but the Pope himself actually rooted for the White Sox, which is very apropos considering what I'm reading is that Pope Leo XIII was the Pope of the downtrodden, and it's right in line with what's going on with the White Sox now.
They are a disaster.
Pretty good, Craig. You know, I could be totally fooled by this, but I mean, it looked real and it would be a weird thing for AI to do. But Pope Leo XIII, the last Pope Leo, was around in the late 1800s. And I saw a video of this
Pope Leo.
And I'm thinking, did they have video cameras?
In the 1800s?
The late 1800s?
No, maybe film, and I think it would have been still film.
You know what I'm saying, though. Did they have the ability to capture moving images?
I don't think moving images,
In the late 1800s.
Photos.
I didn't think so.
Just photos, right? The moving image is the 1910s and is when that first started, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. But, I mean, this looked so real, and I don't know what
maybe. I thought all you had were snapshots.
1895, they had a moving image.
Oh, did they really?
So this was real then?
Well, that's the year? It was the 1890s? Or did it not say?
No, it was 1890-something.
Okay.
1895. Let's see. XII. No, not XIO. Come on. Damn it. Yeah, if you see this, and it was wild because there was, like, horses and just this guy
Well,
was...
we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks on the podcast. The stuff that comes up on YouTube now and the film that they have from the 1932 Yankees in spring training, what Berlin looked like right after World War II. And they've got all these unbelievable videos that are out there. AP, Getty Images does it. It's fascinating.
Yeah, so they've changed it. Obviously, they made it into color. But yeah, here you go. Look at this. That's Pope Leo XIII in like 1897.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. that's not...
That's real.
Wow. He was 85?
Yeah. Yep.
And then died in 1903. Wow. Pretty impressive.
I know. I mean, watching this whole thing and then everybody's
It's just, you hear about the history of these things and people around that time, but when you actually see them moving around like that in the 1800s, it blows your mind.
Sure does. I agree.
I didn't think there was moving images at that
time. I honestly thought it was, I didn't think before 1910, I didn't know that there was any moving images available in the 1800s.
Yeah, there he is with a cane.
I always think of the camera and the pull chain and the big flash on top.
This Tracy is unbelievable.
Oh, Tracy.
Is that the Tracy she's been on X, like reaching out to us? Have you seen that one?
Oh, I've not seen that one.
There was a Tracy, I think, that reached out to us. All right, so Tracy has called the last week or so.
Her super fan Tracy now.
Yeah, right, apparently. So her husband listens to us all the time. She gets in the car, and we will be on, and she's like, why does he listen to these idiots? And then we started to grow on her like a fungus, and then she says, I don't mind you guys, and she started calling, and now all of a sudden she's like a part of the show. So she's back again on this Feel Good Friday. Tracy in Atlantic Highlands. Good morning, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi. Good morning. You guys are really, like, I didn't know that it was just current events as well as sports. And I'm like, oh, they're even talking about the Pope.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah. We're very cultured.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that stops it.
I know.
That stops at 10 a.m. You're going to get exit velo idiots for the rest of the day. But yes, we do everything.
Okay, so I have a question. So it's like a deep dive. I want to know, how did you guys get into the whole sports expertise, like talking about, did you play sports?
Well, like, cut it off at sports when the expertise part.
Or, like, did you play growing up? Like, were your parents into it? Like, did your families?
Yes and yes.
Watch certain teams?
Yeah, I got you, Tracy. And
by the way, are you going to be there at DJ's?
DJ's. Yeah. Oh, you know what? My guy friends are asking about this. I don't know, DJs. In Belmar?
Yeah, in Belmar. We're going to be on in the morning. We got a concert happening with
you
Chris Lane
down
afterwards.
Meet you in person.
It's a great day.
Is it just going to be like sports stuff?
No, not at all.
It's sports stuff and dudes. No, we do a lot
and
of stuff.
Dudes?
We do a lot of different things, and there's a lot of women that are there.
I remember the last time I was at DJ's, I got burned by a cigarette, and that was like 1999.
Well, no one smokes anymore, so you're good.
Oh, that's true. I'm good. Yeah.
All right. So we'll put you down.
Like, where did you?
Yeah.
Did
okay.
You
we'll
play
answer your question.
In high school?
Yeah, okay. I did. Yeah,
all right. Have a good day.
All right. See you. Tracy's bye, talking Tracy. Over. So I was going to ask her more questions and say things, but it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
Boomer and Geo Superman on the TV.
I know. It's pretty good. I loved sports growing up. It was a major passion. I loved talking about it. I did play football and baseball throughout high school. There's a picture of me in middle school. It's eighth grade football. I wasn't very good. I did play Little League baseball. It's Jerry as a jockey. He won the Preakness, which was an amazing time for the program. But it really was it's not so much like the, because she's just learning about this medium, it feels like.
Yeah.
So it's not just it's not the sports love that catapulted me into this business. It was the radio part of it, the talk show part of it. Like, I ended up loving people talking about it and the shows more than the sports themselves because it was so entertaining to me. So I don't consider myself an expert in anything, really. What I consider myself more of an expert in would be radio. That would be my expertise. I don't consider myself a baseball expert or a basketball expert. I know things. I'm a fan. I know as much as everybody listening, but it's the ability to do the radio show. It's the ability to be entertaining for 4 hours and get through the program and make people laugh. That's the part that drew me to this business more than anything else.
Well, I was drawn for the sports, not the other part. Although I was a huge Imus fan, Imus in the Morning fan, so that was a little bit different. But my favorite part of that was Breen. So that was the sports thing. And yes, I played baseball in high school. I tried to play in college. I was not any good. And then I played football from the time I was 9 until freshman year of high school, and I fractured my leg, and that was the end of football. So, and I am an expert in being anything but an expert.
Yeah, right.
So I have zero expertise in anything.
Yeah, no, I'm basically, I think, like, you could say that we're experts. If you, the amount of hours that we've done this, you could probably say we're experts in talk radio at this point.
I suppose, but I think more so we cover everything.
Yeah.
Whereas you will get guys that will call up that do nothing but watch the Mets. And they know more than we do because they watch every single pitch of 162 games and spring training.
but we will cover everything. So I think it's, you're having a broad knowledge of what's going on in sports. You follow some more than others, and then you also try to keep up with what's going on in the world.
Yeah, and I think that back in the day, you know, the sports talk show host would know more than the average fan because he might have some connections or know people in an organization or all of these things that would go on. But you know, I think now it's everybody's got access to all the information.
So
if you're doing this job, you have to do it. It's not knowing more or telling people things because everybody's got it available to them on their phone. It's about getting through a show, making people laugh, entertaining people for 4 hours and being good at that as opposed to knowing everything about everything. Joe and Syosset, what's going on, Joe?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, I'm glad we got Tracy on board, but too bad she missed out on the vagina candle or the vajankle.
Yeah, that is true, Joe. I mean, if she's listening now... we did a segment, Tracy, on Gwyneth Paltrow making a candle that smelled like her vagina. And I also have a pair of vajankles in my office. These are the things we also talk about, Tracy. Might blow your mind that these things come up. But yes, I've got, what are the silicone? Is that what they're made out of, Eddie? The vajankles or what? What is that material that they're made out of?
Yeah, silicone, I would guess.
And it's an ankle with vagina on the top of it for people with foot fetishes.
It's a weird fetish. Man.
Yeah, so we've talked about we cover everything. The Pope, vajankles, whatever.
Tracy, you don't know what you're walking into.
Right. Maybe want the sports starts at 10. Since it's like when my buddy who bartends at the Port Lee's, he's been there for a long time, does one day and pours beers there, and if someone asks him for a martini, he says the bartender starts at 6. That's what I say.
I pour beers.
That's what I say here when people go deep dive into sports. I say the sports talk starts at 10.
Vagina-scented candle.
Yes.
This smells like my vagina. An exploding vagina-scented candle.
Yes. Welcome, Tracy, God, to our world.
Yay, yay.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Let's get right to CeeLo. He's got another update for us. What's going on, Chris?
All right, a couple more things on Knicks Celtics to start this hour. Obviously, game three coming up tomorrow afternoon. So Paul Pierce promised to walk to work out in L.A. if the Celtics lost game two, which, of course, they did. So he did, or at least part of it. Now, I don't know if it was the full 20 miles. He claims it was, though he didn't do it barefoot, which was part of the promise. Anyway, here he was arriving after the said 20-mile journey.
Damn, dog. I made it, y'all. We made it, y'all. We made it. We made it. Oh, my God.
All right, great. Quickly realizes he better be more careful with what he says moving forward, but then immediately, I think, props himself up a bit with a nice pat on the back.
I'm never doing this again, y'all. I ain't never put no bet like this ever again.
Describe how you feel in one word.
You know what? I feel... Like, I accomplished something great, dog. That was an accomplishment at the end of the day. Like, not everybody had a mental, you know, capacity to like, really
really do it. I got up at 5.
You got up at 5. Come on. We were on the air at 5.
Yeah, the only problem is he didn't really. I mean, he did walk it, I guess. Yeah. But when you say you're going to be barefoot in a robe, right. I expect you to be barefoot and not have pants on under your robe.
Yeah, he's got the undershirt on there.
Yeah.
Keyshawn along the way, you know Kevin what, Garnett along the way.
To defend him, you cannot walk barefoot outside the city somewhere.
I did say that to Al this morning.
I agree with you, but he said it.
Right.
I didn't. Yeah. That he said he was going to do it barefoot wearing a robe. He's in sneakers and he's got jeans on.
And I felt like on. He posted his steps for the day and it was like 33,000. I felt like it was that
for
was
20
low.
Miles?
I felt that it was low.
Like, do you get your steps on the golf course?
No, you know what?
13,000 for 18, right? That's got at least a few miles.
No, I think it's like 6 miles.
Okay.
I just know at Disney we got to like 24,000.
Yeah, I guess that is about right.
It's close enough. It's in the ballpark.
Yeah, it might be about right.
Because if it's 6 miles on the golf course, multiply that by 3. Yeah. If you're 13.
That's 39. It's a little light, but maybe it wasn't a full 20. Maybe he did 17 miles, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Either way, he partially did it.
Right. Just to further how the Celtics fans and some former Celtics players, the Boston sports market in general, kind of all tough to take, I give you Felger and Maz on 98.5 Sports Hub from yesterday, downgrading the Knicks and their 2-0 series lead.
I'm not taking him seriously. I'm still not taking him seriously.
No, me either. I still think the Celtics are winning this series.
If I had to put money, that's where I'd bet it. I'd take the odds and bet the Celtics for sure. And the Knicks still blow.
All right. I don't know which voice that is. Gio, you might know better.
That is
doesn't really matter,
Tony Maserati.
All right. Well, he didn't stop there.
Don't let the Celtics off the hook by saying, whoa, well, the Knicks are... No, they're trash. You felt they were trash 5 days ago? You thought they were trash 5 weeks ago? You thought they were trash 5 months ago, 5 years ago? Because you know why? They're trash. They're garbage.
Pretty strong. We'll see how that
looks. Actually, I'm not sure which one of those.
It doesn't matter.
He did win 51 games.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Talk radio, man. You know, they're going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw Funhouse post that. I thought he liked those guys, and he was ripping the hell out
of them. Yeah, he was.
Maybe he's a Knick fan.
Yeah, probably
what it is.
Well, we'll see how it looks tomorrow, 3:30, at what should be a raucous Madison Square Garden. And the Knick fans certainly traveled well to Boston, as we saw and evidenced by this video and the audio, which we'll hear, which went viral as well. So an usher up in Boston after the game can't get the Knicks fans to exit their seats. She starts to panic and would plead for some assistance along the way. Trying to wave down security with her little handheld placard there, she wipes out and knocks over a row of the temporaries.
Did she really?
Oh, yeah. Fell right over them.
The poor thing.
So she gets up. She starts pointing at the group she wants removed, and the Knick fan responded with this chant, basically right in her face.
He's feeling himself. Knicks fans feeling himself.
Nothing physical, no cursing.
Was it vulgar?
No, yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. Nice group
there. The guy
that
was vulgar was during the post-game show with Brian Scalabrine the other night, where he was dropping F-bombs very audible. You heard it.
Do happen.
Oh, they do.
No. Something tells me it won't be the same the other way around for the Celtic fans at MSG, but we'll see. That video and the audio we just heard had Dave Portnoy all worked up, so he came out with this.
I've forgotten how despicable Knicks fans are. They've been irrelevant for 100 years, haven't mattered, haven't thought about them. They win one preseason game, bing bong, they do this. But now to watch them celebrate in our building and go crazy, Knicks in four, reminds me of how much I hate them. So every member of the Celts, lose to anybody else, you cannot lose to New York. You can't.
Sounds a little rattled.
What do you think?
It's on.
G can probably see my screen, so I want to ask him. What do you think the get-in-the-door prices for Game 3 now on StubHub with fees? We did this the other day after the Game 1 victory.
Get-in-the-door price tomorrow with fees.
With fees.
I would say, I think, $500 minimum.
With fees, I said.
Okay, so more? $700.
What do you think, Al? You did this the other day.
I was going to say like $550.
Yeah, so the cheapest price right now is in section 413.
Mm-hmm.
Before fees is $679.
So yeah, somewhere in the 700s.
So that will be $825 each.
The fees are that.
Apparently so. It says ticket price $825.
A percentage of okay.
So if you would like to go to the game, you can go sit in the nosebleeds with your significant other for $1,650 for a basketball game.
You know. So Roscona and I were at the, Brian Roscona works here, does the Valenti and Boomer show and has hosted, if you don't know him. So we went to high school together and we went to the LJ 4-point play game together. And wow. He texted me the other day if the Knicks and the Pacers face off in the Eastern Conference Finals again, because obviously that was the matchup back in 99 with the LJ 4-point plays. Like, we have to go back all these years later. I said, yeah, that sounds great. Not anymore. After seeing, like, because I can't get a credential because no one still hates us.
We can't call in any favors. Or
there's no favors that you can get. Yeah. I'd have to do this. I'd have to go on StubHub and pay a gazillion dollars.
Hold on. Doesn't Evan have season tickets? Talk to Evan.
He does.
He should sell those things, and he should get as much as he can for them. I'm not going to pay Evan $1 million to go to a game.
I would tell you, if you want to get into the 200 level, you're starting with fees at $9.90 a ticket.
I mean, at eight, that's might ridiculous. As well just go there at that point if you're paying over $800 for the 400s.
Well, that's what we talked about too. Like, where do you stay? Right. Like, what's another couple $100? Yeah, where you spend two grand?
Sure. Did you hear Lou Gowers going with a female listener to the game tomorrow afternoon?
No. So he bought floor seats for $6,000 a pop.
So what? She and
Eddie?
No. He's going as her guest. She's a season ticket holder with her husband. They travel. They went to Boston. And I guess he has something.
The husband's not going and Tommy's going in his place?
That's right. That's what I'm told. At least as of yesterday, that was the plan.
That's a little strange.
All right. Well, good for him.
Tommy's married, right?
He is.
A married guy?
Yes. And she's a married gal. With a
he was touching the breasts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a swinger spot here? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. It's a day game. You know, afterwards, Knicks win. You go out, celebrate a little night on the town.
What if Tommy's the celebrity she has on her list of?
Oh yeah,
you know that
hall pass.
That's acceptable. Hall pass.
If your hall pass is Tommy Lugauer, you gotta really step it up. You know what I'm saying?
Tommy's a good looking dude.
No, I know, but still, like, choose someone who's actually got money or something, fame.
How about this? So you know how they will put like a little note on the tickets? You know, best selling, value.
Yeah, you're an ass.
This
for buying
one,
this.
They label these as a great deal. $1,021 per ticket before fees.
Yeah, but where?
Section 204 behind the basket. It's not like it's mid-court.
Yeah, no, it's not great.
$1,239 per ticket. Yes.
If you're Tommy, you try to get down to say hello to Ben Stiller since he follows
him.
He
should.
Instagram.
Yeah. Because he's got to be on his mind. He just followed him recently.
Right.
Yeah. Until you find out Ben Stiller's not running that account. You go up to Ben Stiller and some guy tases you.
Loogie! By the way, it's game four on Monday. My apologies. So I guess the husband's available for tomorrow, but can't go on Monday.
Oh, so he's going Monday. Not
game
okay,
four.
Not tomorrow.
So night game, not day game. There you go. So he has that to look forward to.
Well, go down to the floor there, Jerry, just out of curiosity. Why not?
This one?
Anyone. I don't.
Yeah. So if you want to get in here, all the tickets for $2,000 are taken.
You want to
this
sit
one's
next to
$6,615.
Yeah, Boomer wanted to send Al to the game until he kind of thought about it, and then it wasn't so fun anymore.
The ticket prices are incredibly absurd. Let's see. So if you want to sit first row, mid-court, I'm not joking.
Oh, yeah.
$22,000.
How did that happen?
20 for a game.
How is it 8:45?
You must have hit that last break way late.
We did, because Tracy called.
That's right.
By the way, Al said when he retires, he's never coming into the Burrows ever again.
I'm with him on that.
But then we quickly poked holes in that.
Well, you can. I think you can have that. I mean, I will go to baseball games still, but in terms of Manhattan.
He said never. But
unless there's a show that my wife really wants to see, I don't know that I would ever come back in here either.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 8:52. It is the Boomer and Geo program, but Boomer is out, so I sit in his chair in a Celtics jersey. Take that, big fella. real quick, just because we had a lot of success with it last year, and also we have my friend Craig's got all his ducks in a row here, and things are set. So last year, you and Boomer came out to Jersey for the Scott Goldsberry golf tournament that we did at Bella Vista Country Club in Marlboro. So announcing today, August 18th will be year number two.
All right.
Monday, August 18th. I could give you the email of the website address, but it's convoluted with all the... So just contact me, RecoSportsLLC@gmail.com if you're interested. I don't imagine we're going to have a lot of open spots. And I know you and Boomer are going to play again, which is awesome. I think we can get CeeLo involved too this year. He wants to play, which will be great. So maybe we'll raffle off some spots again. But August 18th, Bella Vista Country Club in Marlboro, the second annual tournament for Scott Goldsberry, my friend who's got ALS, raised a lot of money. It's a good day. The golf tournament doesn't take a ton of time. You would agree. We played
right.
4 hours.
Yep.
There's a challenge against me on a par three, which is kind of fun. I sit there and hit a 9-iron all day, which is fun. So email me if you're interested. Do it early because it will sell out. RecoSportsLLC@gmail.com. So,
and I'm sure you put it out there on X at some point as well.
Yeah, for sure. And Instagram and all that. But his brother-in-law, Craig, has done a ton of work already on it. And I thought last year for our first year went very well. This year I expect it to be bigger. The sponsors are great. The Giants and Jets with their donations, amazing. The Red Bulls, the Yankees, the Mets, everybody. So we'll get all those teams involved again this year, hopefully, and try and make it bigger than we can.
Yes, it is on the calendar. Excited to get out there. Really enjoyed ourselves last year with Keith and his son who won the auction.
Did he win golfer, by the way, of the... Was he golfer the up for golfer of the year?
I mean, he was killing it in his Keith's son was. He was killing it in the poll there. I don't know if it ended up working out in the end or someone came up and had more votes, but he had the most votes, I mean, by far when I ended up voting. So.
Yeah, and me too. Let me ask you this question real quick.
Yeah.
So you had the Myrtle Beach Classic Pro-Am this week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not, Fat Perez played in all in
well,
that.
You're talking about the spot Q.
on the PGA Tour. Well, yeah, so they played Monday,
right?
But that's not what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
Because right. I know people will hear this and they think that's what I'm getting into. I'm not. So they got these pro-ams where they have celebrities. And Pebble Beach is obviously the big one where they have, I would say, probably the most celebrities. I'm going to give you a list. You tell me, I was impressed by this list. For a May pro-am in Myrtle Beach, I know Myrtle Beach is huge with golf courses, but I'm going to give you a list of names.
Now, wait, just so I know, because I know the Truist is going on now.
There's simultaneous events.
All right, so we're talking about the other event.
This is the Myrtle Beach Classic.
Right, where you don't have any of the top golfers playing.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, because everybody's playing at the Truist, yes. Which is an elevated event that I was at earlier in the week.
But this is a PGA Tour event.
Okay, yeah.
So weird, though, that they're running them simultaneously, but that's what they're doing. So here were the Pro-Am celebrities I saw on the sheet. And you tell me when I run them down if this is impressive or not. David Arquette.
Okay.
Bad, pretty good. Kevin Costner played.
Come on.
I swear to God. Kevin Costner played in Myrtle Beach. Isn't that cool?
Wow.
Kurt Russell.
Jeez.
Right? Impressive. Michael Pena, a movie actor who, if you don't know him by name, if you see him, you'll
know
who
him.
He is.
He's actually a really good golfer.
Michael Chiklis from The Shield.
Okay. Yeah, I know him.
He was in it. How about these two names? Vanna White.
Come on.
I'm telling you. And Jenny Garth.
Jeannie Garth, right?
No, Jenny Garth from 90210. Jenny Garth from 90210.
Oh, okay, Jenny Garth.
Yeah.
What do I know? Okay. Yeah. Well, that is, I mean.
That's pretty good.
They're way more famous than the golfers.
Probably, but I
No, not probably. They are.
Well, I didn't look at the list, but yes, I'm sure you're right. But I.
So if you ended up as one of the guys, if you ended up one of the guys that are in that foursome, you get with Kevin Costner. You get some guy from like the Corn Ferry Tour in there. You're like, oh my God, this is pretty good.
Seems like a blast and something I would go to if I was in Myrtle Beach that week. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I'm surprised, to be honest with you. The second tournament, you get a bunch of guys who didn't qualify for the big one.
And Kevin Costner's in that group. I mean, that's not bad. Whoever
who was in
organized
the
Pro-Am
at the Truist then? God.
That I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that would be
good. And your poor guy, Fat Perez, shot 89.
Well, that was in the queue, though. That
on
was...
Monday. Same course, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't Monday. They filmed that months ago.
I thought they filmed that. They played Monday and just released it yesterday.
No. Nope. They released it on Monday. They filmed it months ago.
I thought it came out yesterday.
No, I watched it on Monday when it came out. It was 2 p.m. Monday. They did a miserable job with the first one.
This was better?
It was better. It's still way too long and... They just don't have, they're trying to tap into that world and they're doing a bad job with it. And I actually wrote this is like an Al type of thing that he would do, but I did write to something.
He's growing on you.
Yeah, but I mean, I just hated the fact because I'm a consumer of this more than anybody, right? So I'm someone, I feel like I know what the people want when it comes to that thing because I consume it all.
Right.
And the fact that they made us last year wait, because it's a cool idea that one of the creators could play in a PGA tournament.
Sure.
So this was the first time that they did this.
And we had to wait months for the results. They put an embargo on it and then put out the worst, like, three-hour-long YouTube golf video I've ever seen in my life. So I'm sitting there. I'm trying to fast forward to see who wins the thing. And then they've got these they put, like, the amateur golfers that, God bless them, but nobody cares right. about these guys. They care about the creators that they watch and the millions of views that those guys watch. So it's 8 and 8. So they got 8 of the amateurs, regular amateurs that are trying to make it. And then they got 8 of the creators. But we don't need to see the kid who's a junior at South Carolina.
Right.
Who's just a kid.
Just cut up the 8 YouTube guys.
Right. And then even that, like, you should make one of the creators be a winner in the thing. Or say, like, if one of the creators shoots 3 under, they make it. So you have something to root for. Because then in the end, you know, George Brian was up there for a little bit, and one of the other guys was up there for a little bit. But then, like, the top 4 guys were these.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had, like, Fat Prez in the water, who was hitting a shot in the water with his shoes off. And, like, that was sort of entertaining. But I'm like, all it turns into is just this amateur tournament that no one cares about.
So I just have to know. A lot of times Al will email people from restaurants and places, and he will get no response. Sometimes he'll get into it with them, actually, and a good back and forth. That woman that owned that, the Bowl restaurant, I believe, right?
Oh, yes.
Right? Yep. Saying a good back and forth. Mm-hmm. Did you get any response?
I did.
Really?
So, yeah, it was on a, it was on.